Hi, Jimmy. Come to my rescue and wipe off this windshield. I can hardly see through it.
Hey, you've really been out in the country, Mr. Foster. The bugs must be thick out there.
They are, but I think I got more than my share. You know, they tell me you attract what you think about, and I was thinking about bugs.
What were you thinking about bugs for?
Well, you know the radio program you got me to listening to?
Yeah.
The one with all the remarkable stories about the oil industry?
Uh-huh.
Did you listen to it just now?
I wanted to, but a special grease job came in, so I missed it.
Well, for once, I can tell you about some of the things in back of your 10 feet of gas pump hose.
But what does that have to do with your bugs?
Well, you'll see when I tell you what I heard on...
Romance of Oil. The Story of an Industry. Man has strange rivals for the mastery of the world against whom he must wage constant warfare. Insects, his flying, creeping, burrowing, swimming rivals. Whenever man has tried to estimate their numbers, the sum becomes so great the human mind can hardly grasp it. A fly seems weightless compared to an elephant, but of all the land animals of the world, including the 2 billion human beings, were heaped high on one side of a huge scale, and on the other side were heaped all the insects of the world, the insects would weigh down the scale. Man and insect, each striving for the mastery of the world and fighting their fiercest battles over food. The battlefront is everywhere. Emergencies arising which challenge man's ingenuity. Recently, in an American oil company laboratory, two scientists were discussing an urgent telephone call from the Department of State.
What did the State Department have to say, George?
Well, they say this situation in the Middle East is desperate. They're having a locust plague, and they can't lick it. If something isn't done immediately, the locust will destroy the entire wheat and barley crops. And that means a famine. They need help.
What do they want us to do?
Well, they want to know if we can get enough of our new insect toxicant together to do the job. Not today, but yesterday.
How much is needed?
Well, you know, we figure that 2 ounces of it mixed with petroleum solvent will kill practically every locust on 1 acre. The locusts are threatening 130,000 square miles of cultivated land in the Middle East. Now, let's see, 640 acres to the square mile. That's 83,200,000 acres.
Ready on your call to the State Department, sir.
Hello? Yes? Fine. How are you? We're all ready. It'll take 13 tons of the new chemical. We figure 6 light planes will be enough to handle the spraying. We've located them, and they can be disassembled and packed into DC-4s for the overseas flight. Yes, we've got the pilots for the spraying planes, and they've been alerted. And I'm ready to go along personally to supervise operations. Now, how about clearances? Oh, fine. That's good. Good. See you then. Bye.
Everything all set on their end?
They've really worked fast, together with the Department of Agriculture. We'll leave day after tomorrow. And that's just 4 days from the time we got word about the crisis.
That's one of the fastest operations of its kind in history. As a matter of fact, we're making history.
You have to make history when it comes to averting a famine.
And you have to be fast when it comes to fighting locusts. I remember one locust plague where they had destroyed 1,300 tons of eggs and thought they'd gotten them all. But the next year, they found 4,000 tons of eggs that had been laid just by the ones that got away. That's roughly about 100 billion locust eggs.
You know, it's almost frightening when you think how fast just one insect in one place can multiply. But we've learned new methods, and it's going to be a different story in the Middle East when our American-made sprays arrive.
An American oil company lending a hand to our government to stop a locust plague in the Middle East, saving wheat and barley fields from the voracious appetites of insects so that men may eat and live. On the home battlefront, petroleum insecticides becoming a powerful weapon in the perpetual warfare against man's six-legged rivals. It is no coincidence that the United States is one of the few surplus food areas in the world and also is the one place where insect control is the greatest. But even so, the insects do $2 billion a year damage to our agriculture. New ideas, new weapons must constantly be devised. And from oil company laboratories come some fantastic new weapons. Not long ago, a Georgia peach grower was admiring an exhibit at the county fair.
Pardon me, sir, but them peaches of yours are the finest I've ever seen. How'd you manage it with all the bugs we had this year? I had a terrible time with my crop.
I know just what you mean. My daddy always told me I'd have to plant every other tree just for the bugs. Oh, but I wish he could see my orchard now. I've got all the trees to myself.
What did you do different?
Well, I was weeping on the county agricultural agent's shoulder last winter, and he told me about a new oil spray. It forms a kind of rubbery web over the peaches, and the bugs can't get to them. Doesn't keep the peaches from growing, either. I reckoned I might as well try it instead of just bawling about how bad the bugs are. And man, I didn't have any bug problem worth shedding a tear over this year.
An oil product sprayed over growing fruit, protecting it from hungry insect jaws. Another weapon in the arsenal needed to keep man's food for himself. Another link in the chain of partnership between the farmer and the oil man. A partnership in which oil fuels the farmer's 4 million tractors, his 6 million automobiles, his 2 million trucks. A partnership in which oil is the farmer's source not only for fuel and insecticides, but fertilizers, weed killers, fungicides, and literally 1,000 different products. A partnership which has brought into being such things as the strangest farm in the world. A small farm in California, but so strange that when the manager of the farm was showing a visitor around recently, the conversation went like this.
That's a fine-looking lettuce field you have there.
Yes, isn't it a shame? We expected to have a lot of insect damage, but to our disappointment, we had hardly any. However, we feel good about the way our apple and pear trees are coming along in that orchard over there. We have a fine crop of pests on those trees, and we've got plenty of mites in the grapevines.
What are you going to use that field for?
Oh, that's one of our very best pieces of ground. We have more nematodes, wireworms, you know, per square inch in that field, than any farm in the valley. They'll ruin any crop we put in. Come on over here. I want to show you how wonderfully the thrips and lagus bugs are eating up our cotton patch.
A farmer disappointed because insects weren't feeding on his lettuce? A farmer pleased because insect pests were ruining his vineyard, his orchard, his cotton patch? Yes, the manager of this strange farm is. For this is an oil company's experimental farm where all the problems that plague a farmer are deliberately encouraged so that a solution can be found, so that new oil products can be developed to help the farmer. Elsewhere in America, other oil company laboratories and experimental farms are constantly at work devising new ways and new weapons for soil men and oil men together to fight the food production battle. Each farmer having a different problem, offering a different challenge. In the Texas Rio Grande Valley, a farmer was discussing his particular problem with an oil company chemist.
The earworms get our corn crop every time. There must be some way to stop them.
I agree with you. The corn's all right until the silk starts to poke out. And that's when the earworms lay their eggs.
Yep, and those little old new-hatched worms crawl in the ears and start putting on the feed bag.
Just when the silk starts poking out is when we ought to spray them with oil and coat them so the worms can't find a place to attach themselves.
That's the idea.
I'm sure we can develop an oil that will be tasteless and won't be affected by wind or rain either.
Another victory in the food production battle. Oil sprayed on sweet corn, saving it for men. The constant fight to keep the insect world at bay. An insect world which attacks not only man's plant, but his animal food supply as well. A curious chapter in the saga of man versus insect began at a meeting in 1945 in Kansas. Cattlemen and state agricultural officials were having a conference. A cattleman was speaking.
What with the horn flies and the mosquitoes and the ticks and the lice pesting our cattle, they can't graze peaceful and put on weight like they should.
That's right, Jim. We southwestern cattlemen lose hundreds of thousands of dollars every year just because of insect pests.
I understand that when the Marines went into Guadalcanal, for every man the Japs put out of action, the mosquitoes put 10 more out till that miracle chemical DDT arrived. What I want to know is, why couldn't it do the same job of insect control by our cattle? What do you agriculture boys think about it?
I think it's a real idea. Ordinary cattle dips and sprays wear off in a few hours, but the experience of the armed forces is that DDT is effective for weeks.
But how will it react on animals?
That's what we've got to find out. And another thing is, you know, DDT is a powder and has to be mixed with a base in order to use it. The most common mixture is 5% DDT with 95% kerosene. But for cattle, we may have to experiment with something special.
Well, if everybody's agreed, let's start experimenting.
Jim, I've got some exciting news for you. The cattle treated with DDT gained an average of 50 pounds an animal over untreated animals during the 90-day insect season.
Well, that's tremendous. Any casualties?
Not a one. No ill effects at all on the cattle.
50 pounds of meat per head of cattle that the horn flies and mosquitoes would have worried off of them. Just think what that's going to mean to all of us cattlemen. And what an increase in meat production.
Another victory in the battle of man versus insect. First, the saving of lives in the South Pacific, then the saving of beef in the Southwest. More food for mankind. Oil company laboratories developing special petroleum solvents for the DDT used on cattle so they can be sprayed and dipped. Another link in the partnership between soil men and oil men. The oil companies competing with each other to see which laboratory can solve a problem first and best. The amazing new answers helping the United States to be one of the few surplus food areas in the world. The partnership between soil men and oil men, again proving the truth of the old fable that in the beginning the gods divided man into men that he might be more helpful to himself. Romance of Oil.
This has been one of a series, Romance of Oil, the story of an industry, written by Ruth Sheldon Knowles. Your narrator was John Henry. Among the members of the cast were Frank Sims, Ben Avery, Walter Tease, and Tom DeVore. Music arrangements and direction were by Joe O'Neill.